ways. You know, I think about when people don't turn their blinkers on. I don't have a short memory because sometimes I get to go on somewhere and God reminds me, why is your blinker not on, Sydney? That's his kind of kickback to me when I be like, why didn't you turn their blinker on? And after, like, you did not turn your blinker on, Mr. Dockery. Great job on the lesson, guys. Great job. So this morning we're going to talk about, we're going to keep going, we're going to talk about God's justice and not our own. Sometimes we feel God's justice could be delaying, but it's not. So I'm going to share a couple things. When we look at the Old Testament, we see a God who acts decisively against sin. You think about Cain. When Cain committed murder, God banished him and marked him. It was rather swift. When we think about Noah and his generation, sin got so bad, God said, we're just going to wipe everything clean. You know, it just, and actually it took 100 years. He had a lot of great patience, but he just like, he was like, man, he dealt with it. Think about Miriam, Moses' sister, how she developed this prejudice against Moses, basically opposed Moses and his wife, his Cushite wife, and she also opposed the fact that he had this authority, and she challenged his leadership. So what did God do? God said, leprosy. We'll deal with that. Seems swift. And then you think about the Egyptians, you know. They just oppressed the Israelites. He oppressed the Israelites. I cannot speak. He opposed the Israelite, if I slow down. The Egyptians did that for a long time. And it's amazing. The Egyptians and everybody during that time were recipients of God's blessing when Joseph was around. Right. And they forgot all that. And they ended up oppressing those guys. And God in that was patient, but they kept challenging God because during that time, the Egyptians had this God complex themselves. This was their thinking. And so apparently plagues didn't move them a lot. You know, even after he took the firstborn, still didn't move them a lot. They still wanted to go after God's people. But it kind of seems swift, like God dealt with things a lot of ways back then. You know, these moments that I spoke about, they resonate with us because they mirror our human instincts. Justice should be immediate. That's how we feel sometimes. Consequences should be visible. I want to see what the punishment is going to be like. Wrongdoing should be answered swiftly. I want results now. We want justice that feels like closure. But God's justice has never been about satisfying our emotional need for retribution.
That's right.
It has always been about upholding his holiness and advancing his redemptive plan. In comes Christ. Jesus is God's pivot. He is God's audible. He is God's justice, and that justice is God's grace. I'm going to read out of Luke 9, and we're familiar with this, Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read from there. We're familiar with this. God is with two of the apostles, two of the original 12. You got to think about it. If you're with God and you're witnessing all these miracles, all these great divine events, and you're like, man, and then God puts you in a position where he allows you to participate in some of these events, You could feel some kind of way about yourself. But in Luke 9, verse 51, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samarian village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they ask, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. You know, the disciples, James and John, we know them as the sons of thunder. Asked Jesus if they should call down fire to destroy a Samaritan village that rejected him. This is echoing Old Testament about Elijah. And most of you should know the story about Elijah in Second Kings, verse 1, when he called down fire from heaven. While Elijah's action was appropriate for his time, Jesus was establishing a new way. Amen. That surpasses the old covenant of judgment. Mm-hmm. Jesus rebuked them, stating that stating they did not understand their spirit, talking about the Samaritans. They did not understand their spirit as he came to save lives rather than destroy them. So let's talk about the shift.
Yeah.
The shift isn't God changing, it's God revealing. When Christ enters the world, God doesn't abandon justice. He fulfills it. He absorbs it. He redirects it toward redemption instead of destruction. The cross is not God going south. The cross is God going deeper. Justice is still served fully, painfully, eternally, but now it is served on himself so that mercy can be served to us. This is why God is both just, he does not ignore sin, and God is the justifier. He makes sinners righteous through Christ. Grace isn't the absence of justice. Grace is justice paid in full by someone else. So we're talking about how God's justice creates opportunity. So if you just remember, we talked about, here's Jesus preparing to go to heaven. He chose the Samaritan village first to get things ready, but they rejected him. James and John didn't appreciate that. But if you understand the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews, it's very contentious. Remember, the Samaritans are not considered to be pure Jew, or we say in that term, pure blood. So, you know, already, you know, they feel some kind of way. And yet I walk with Jesus. So I've had a chance to participate in some miracles. And I know that with God's word, I can do some things.
Right.
And sometimes we like to feel like, well, I'm going to mishandle this word and do what I feel. But they don't realize that when Jesus stopped them from destroying them, he was creating an opportunity down the road. Sometimes we can't, well, I should say all the time, we can't see what's coming down the road.
That's right. That's
we
right.
kind of just focus in the moment, but we never know what God's doing around the corner. And in Acts 8, verse 14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God,
wow.
they sent Peter, and which son of thunder? John. Remember John back with Jesus, we're going to kill some people. He didn't know. God was like, oh man, you don't understand their spirit. They're going to get there. Sometimes we want people to get there right away. But Jesus is like, no. But he sends Peter and John. In verse 25 of the same chapter, Acts, it says, after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages.
Amen.
You
what
know,
verse was that?
Acts 8:25. Yeah. Preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Let's imagine if Jesus would have allowed them to call down fire.
Wow.
How many people would have been lost?
Right.
Generations on generations. Mm-hmm. You know, God is trying to teach us here that grace and mercy and kindness is better than retribution
mm-hmm.
and revenge. God gets us. Jesus understands that, hey, you want to get back at people. But he also understands that you don't understand their spirit. They need time. They need time under the same grace that I'm giving you. When Jesus said no to calling that fire, it allowed them to celebrate what God was doing and then join him in it. Think about that. They actually had a chance to go out to Samaria and celebrate what God was doing. God was changing lives over there. It allowed them to break down old walls of divisions and embrace new opportunities to share the gospel.
Yeah.
It allowed them to strengthen new believers. It allowed them to offer God's justice and not human retribution. And now, seeing this, we become the opportunity to the world of our day. If God's justice toward us came in the form of opportunity, then our justice toward others must also look like an opportunity.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It must not look like vengeance,
right.
not punishment,
Amen.
Not we're going to get even, not demanding repayment, but offer them space to repent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus, they didn't realize at the time, but he was offering the Samaritans time to repent. Many years later, after Jesus had gone to the cross, going to heaven, look at that, down the road, the Samaritan villages, they were ready for the word of God. Allow them room to grow. People need time to grow. You and I may be there, but somebody else may not be there. Give them time to grow. Nourish them and love them. We need to offer them patience to change. Us being patient with them. Sometimes we want change to be right away, but we need to offer people our patience. Give them time to change. God was patient with us. He was patient with me for 25 years before I made him Lord. And you're right, Julia, he still is patient with me as I'm trying to figure out this thing called being a disciple. He has great patience. Yeah. We need to offer them compassion and weakness. We need to see that people are weak. That's what sin does. And they're trying to figure out how to navigate through this sin, just like we're trying to figure out how to navigate through this sin. A lot of sins we understand how to battle, but at times, some sins sometimes get the best of us. And we have to go to the Lord and repent and talk to God about it. You know, it's like, it's kind of like Leland say, let's just be real. This is where I'm at.
Yeah.
So we have to send that same compassion to other people and their weaknesses. We need to offer them truth spoken in love. It should never be spoken in harshness or rudeness.
That's right.
But it should be spoken in love, the same way God speaks to us. And we need to offer them forgiveness that feels undeserved. But that's what the cross does for us.
Yep.
It is forgiveness that feels undeserved.
That's right.
We're calling people to become agents of God's redemptive justice, not enforcers of human retribution. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and I was like, and it's always great conversation. Well, I think I enjoy conversations with a lot of people. I learn a lot. I listen. But I was thinking about, I had a conversation, I said, just imagine if God just said, okay, we're going to do a role reversal. We're going to switch roles here. So you're not going to be the adopted child. I'm going to make you the child Jesus. And in this world, there's a lot of bad people, from people who don't turn their signals on, to child predators, to murderers, to rapists, to prison, everything. I need you to go die for them.
Yeah.
I really need, I know you have divine power because I've given it to you, but I need you to do that because I need you to, we're going to extend them a little grace and give them time, the opportunity to change. And no, all of them are not going to change.
Mm.
Everybody's going to change, but there's one soul down there that's worth it. But I need you to go down and be willing to sacrifice your life for all of it. Would you assume that role? Think about that. Because that's what God did for us.
Yep.
I can only imagine the discussion that God and Jesus was having. And a son's love for his father and saying, I'm willing to go, even though I know a lot of people are not going to change. But the fact that you give them an opportunity called grace, I'm willing to do it. You know, we need to go as carriers of God's opportunity. May the God of justice, who once judged the world with righteous power, now fill you with the grace revealed in Jesus Christ. May the one who offered you opportunity when wrath was deserved teach your heart to offer the same opportunity to others. As you go, may the Spirit empower you to walk in mercy, speak with compassion, and live as a living invitation to the hope of Christ. May your life reflect the justice of God that restores, the grace of God that redeems, and the love of God that never fails. God's justice towards us came wrapped in opportunity, not wrath. So the question is, will we become that same opportunity for someone else? I'm going to pray for the communion, and we're going to take the communion and pray.